Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
But this, it's a victory Friday. That's right, the Brownies with a win last night at home over the Denver Broncos, 17-14 on national TV. Case Keenum comes in, manages the offense, does a great job. D'Ernest Johnson in his first ever start goes for 146 yards and a touchdown, and the defense actually played well, JT.
Not only that, you know what week it is?
What?
Michigan week for Northwestern.
Oh, that's right. So let's go to the Wake 'em Way hotline and bring in the outstanding Browns beat reporter from BrownZone.com, Scotty Petrak. How are you, Scotty?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm good. What were you more excited about, Browns and Broncos Thursday night or Michigan Northwestern this week?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the Browns game. I'm a little nervous about that Wildcats action.
Okay, all right. We're pulling for the Wildcats, just so you know. We're on your side this week on that one, Scotty. But let's go back to last night's game, Scotty. I called it a must-win, Scotty, because it's a home game against a bad football team, in my opinion, when you consider who they beat, who they've lost to, right? With all the injuries in that, you had to find a way to win the game, and that's exactly what the Browns did. Your thoughts on that, was it that big of a game or no?
Yeah, you know, I mean, it's tough. You know, it's tough week seven to go full-on must-win, but it was pretty darn close. You know, you lost two in a row. Like you said, it's a home game, prime time, against a team that's, you know, average at best. And all of a sudden, if you look at, you know, you're 3-4 after seven games, you'd be last place in the division, looking up at a bunch of teams in the AFC. The schedule feels like it gets harder, even though this is, you know, was a little difficult stretch the previous couple of games. It was really close, because if you look at 3-4 and say, hey, you got to get to 10 wins to have a chance at the playoffs, right, then you got to go 7-3 the rest of the way. That's asking a lot. So I think it was a hugely important game under trying circumstances, right? You don't have your starting quarterback. You're without a bunch of other good players on a short week. So I was impressed that they were able to get it done.
Scotty, I don't think any of us thought that D'Ernest Johnson would go off the way he did. Kenny and I both agreed yesterday the keys to a win were going to be on the defense. Your assessment of Joe Woods' performance with the defense yesterday?
Better, obviously, than it had been the previous 2 weeks, right? He'd given up 84 combined against the Chargers and Cardinals. Now, this was easier. Teddy Bridgewater is not, you know, Justin Herbert or Kyler Murray. That helps. They still have some players. Cortland Sutton's a good player. Noah Fant's a good player. You know, the running backs are fine. But it was an easier task for the Browns, and I think they stepped up to the challenge. You know, the first half, they were pretty close to dominant. 0-4 on third down for the Broncos. I think it was 69 total yards. Two first downs, I want to say. Now, the second half, they gave up a couple of long touchdown drives that allowed it to be a closer game. But it is the NFL. You're going to give up some points. So I thought it was a step in the right direction, and I think the defense should only continue to get more consistent.
Scotty Petrak, our guest via the Wake 'em Way hotline, breaking down the Browns' win yesterday, 17-14 over the Broncos. Let's go to the quarterback position, Scotty. A couple of tentacles to this question for you on that. Case Keenum gets the start, throws for a $199, a touchdown, no interceptions. First tentacle, how well do you think he played? Second tentacle, did they change the offense at all specifically built for him?
I thought he played well for a backup that hadn't started a game since 2019. I don't think he was dominant. I don't think there's anything about his performance that said, oh, man, this guy's better than Baker. But I think he played like a high-priced veteran backup is supposed to play. The operation was pretty smooth. No interceptions. Like you mentioned, made a couple of key plays. Good start. They score on their first two drives. That big scramble on 4th-and-3 from the 6 was huge. So, you know, I thought he played pretty well. And then, the offense. I don't think it changed much, Kenny. I think you're limited in some of the stuff you can do From a physical standpoint, Keenum is not the same athlete that Baker is. He doesn't have the same arm strength that Baker does. You know, they still tried to stretch it downfield a little bit, but probably not as much as if Baker and you have a healthy Baker. But, you know, the calls look, you know, a lot the same. There are bootlegs, there's play action, you know, maybe a little more dink and dunkish.
Scotty, when you look at his performance, like I said, he didn't turn it over. He managed the game. Is that what you think Kevin Stefanski was hoping for, or did you think Kevin was trying to get more out of him with a similar offense, or are they happy with him just managing and not turning it over and distributing to 10 different receivers?
Yeah, that's an interesting thought, Kenny. I think they were happy with that performance and that style of game last night, because of the opponent and because of the short week, and you're missing Chubb and you're missing Hunt. You had question marks at receiver heading into the game. I think that's exactly what they were looking for. Now, you know, when you go to play whoever, a team that's high-powered, right? When you go to Green Bay or you go to play whoever, the Ravens or the Bengals, can you get by like that? Can you get by with really managing the game as tightly? Maybe not, probably not. So I think you have to adjust accordingly, but I thought last night is exactly how Stefanski wanted, or at least thought that game would play out. I think everybody said, hey, looking at all the injuries, looking at the short week, this is going to be a one-possession game, and that's how he coached.
One of the best plays I saw Case Keenum make yesterday was a veteran play, and it was an incompletion in the second half where the rush was coming in, and he just spiked the ball. Lived to play another down, and like you guys said, he managed the game well. Scotty, you can't talk about Browns football and not talk about injuries. Jarvis Landry goes down in the second half. I thought he came back, but I'm not positive.
He did.
What's the status with him moving forward? What about Donovan Peoples-Jones? Was he a late-minute scratch before kickoff?
Yeah, he got hurt in the pregame after they had given their inactives, right? So you give the inactives 90 minutes before the game, and then they go through their, you know, the full team pregame. No, you're not the individual stuff, the full team pregame. And he hurt his groin. So they listed him as questionable, never played. You know, maybe he could have played if they had a string injury at the position. Stefanski said he did not know if he or Denzel Ward, who pulled the hamstring, I think it was the fourth quarter, said did not know if those guys would be available for Pittsburgh. It was too early to tell. And then, you know, what was the other injury? God, I'm blanking it.
Just Jarvis Jones.
Oh, Jarvis. Yeah, Jarvis came back on that. Jarvis came back on that final drive. Asked him after the game. He said he thought he'd be okay. He's got 10 days to get ready for Pittsburgh. Said that, you know, he could feel the knee every once in a while out there, but overall said it felt fine. So I think he's going to continue to get better. I think he's going to be back for that Pittsburgh game. And then Odell, you know, fell on that shoulder, the right shoulder. Obviously was in some pain, but came back in the second half, and Stefanski thinks he's going to be able to play through that as well.
So we've got, what, 8-9 days before the Pittsburgh game. Browns, during this so-called small, we'll call it almost a bye week, are we looking on the waiver wire to help out on the offensive line or some of these other positions, or are they active on the trade market?
Well, JT, I kind of feel like they're getting healthy.
Okay.
Jedrick Wills started and played every snap last night. First time he's done that all year at left tackle. Jack Conklin, Stefanski's hopeful that he can play against the Steelers. Same with Nick Chubb. So, you know, I'm not sure there's a real kind of screaming need for an upgrade, especially when you see Blake Cantz play as well as he has in that kind of six-man offensive, you know, sixth offensive lineman role that Chris Hubbard filled so well last year. They think Cantz can kind of fill in everywhere at all five spots. So, you know, I'm sure they'll keep an eye out, you know, see if there's a guy that pops up. But I'll tell you what, getting through this game without any major new injuries, I feel a lot better about this roster than I did, you know, 48 hours ago.
We're talking Browns football with Scotty Petrak from BrownZone.com, outstanding Browns beat reporter, Thursday night national TV. They get the job done. They get the victory. That's the big thing, to improve to 4-3. Baker Mayfield. Let's get into Baker Mayfield, yep. Scotty. Before the game, Jay Glazer comes out, drops that bomb. I don't know if you guys knew it or you got it from him as well, that Baker has some kind of broken bone in his shoulder on top of the torn labrum and everything. What did you make of that news yesterday, and how much do you think that will factor into whether or not he plays against the Steelers on October 31st?
Yeah, it's certainly interesting. You know, Baker left the door open when we talked to him Tuesday. So there's other, I think he said, I'm not getting to get into details, but there's some more stuff going on in the shoulder. You know, I'm paraphrasing. Broken bone sounds really bad. I don't think it's, you know, it's not like a clean break or something that obviously forces him to have it in a cast or immediate surgery. You know, he's standing on the sideline.
Right.
I don't think, you know, and Kevin Stefanski said this after the game, it's not going to affect the feeling that Baker's going to play again this year, right? And Baker told Jay Glazer that he's hopeful to play against the Steelers. And he, you know, when we talked to him Tuesday, he was hopeful to play this week. But the swelling inside the shoulder just did not go down fast enough for him to be able to do what he needed to do. There was still a lot of pain that he was dealing with because he practiced Tuesday. The hope was that he was going to play. Not only did he talk to us, he practiced and took all the first-team reps on Tuesday. And the Browns, Stefanski said today, the Browns knew about the, you know, the broken bone. It became after that practice that, hey, the swelling's not going down. It just doesn't feel right. You know, you have to go with Case Keenum. So I don't think the revelation yesterday is really going to affect the timeline. It's just a matter of, does he feel well enough in a given week? And this given week is October 31st against the Steelers, to go out there and play. So I think he's going to give it all he has. Now, there's no guarantee he's going to play against the Steelers, but I would not be surprised if he does. Everybody I talk to says he really wants to try to play through this.
Would it be wise, though, for the Browns, looking at a 17-game schedule, Scotty, and not just game number 8 and the importance of game 1, game number 8, to sit him down through this entire extended week, or like JT said, a mini bye week, and then get him ready for the game after Pittsburgh or even a couple of games?
Well, the only way it's – I get your point, and we asked Stefanski about that today, and he said he didn't really know, have an exact answer. It only makes sense if the shoulder gets to a point that it's better than it would be. You know what I'm saying? Like, the shoulder's going to be an issue the rest of the season. So
okay.
The question is, if he sat another 10 days, does it get better enough? Like, does enough pain go away that he performs better? If not, I think it's just a week to week. Does he take a big hit? How does it affect him? Because the shoulder, you know, the torn labrum's not, it's not getting better if he's, you know, just by sitting out a couple of weeks.
Okay. All right. Makes sense. Go ahead, JT.
Scotty, when you look at this now that you've got 10 days off or whatever it is, like we keep saying, what's the practice schedule like now? Will they have time off? Because if this team gets hurt during pregame, and trust me, I know all about getting hurt during pregame, wouldn't it make sense to take a little bit extra time off of this team and really let them get in the training room and get whatever it is time off to get healthy?
Yeah, the players are off until Monday. They'll do some kind of practice Monday. Then they'll be off again Tuesday. You know, they didn't really practice much this week. So that's it's a long weekend, right? Friday, Saturday, Sunday. They'll do some stuff Monday. I'm sure the guys that are fighting through injuries will probably have Monday and Tuesday off. So you get, you know, almost a full week before you get back really added hard on Wednesday. And the coaches are going to take the time to kind of self-scout because the bye week is so late this year. It's week 13. It's after Thanksgiving. But last year, you know, we talked so much about Baker being improved coming out of the bye because they sat down and they figured out what was working. The coaches are going to try to do that in this condensed time frame because you can't wait until week 13, right? If you're going to make these midseason improvements, this is the only other time you can do that.
All right, they get the win. They're 4-3, Scotty. Do we know who this team is yet, though? But think about it. Who have they beaten? They haven't beaten anybody really good to this point. Minnesota's their best win based on records and maybe, you know, playoff possibilities. Their three losses are against all playoff caliber teams. Do we know who this team is yet?
Probably not. I think that's a fair statement that we don't know it. And I think a lot of that revolves around Baker. you know, the injury so early in week two has really affected his season. I think affected how certainly how we view his season and his performance. And when you have such uncertainty at obviously the most important position, I think that clouds everything. You know, we know what the run game is. We know that that can be dominant. I think the passing game will be better just when you get Jarvis Landry and Odell Beckham Jr. healthier and back together. When you get your tackles back, right? No matter who's playing quarterback, I think those, you know, the return of the tackles and the receivers help the passing game. And I think the defense has just been inconsistent, but I still see a lot of potential there. And Myles Garrett's playing at a high level. So I do feel like the team can keep improving, and we haven't seen its best ball yet. But a lot of that, reaching the full potential, will depend on Baker and if he's back and how he plays.
Yeah, it's the most important position in all of sports. And I give the Browns front office credit, Scotty, because $6 million to some teams, that's a lot of money to spend on a backup quarterback. But he earned every penny of that, whether he plays another game this season or not, last night, didn't he, in Case Keenum?
Yeah, I completely agree, Kenny. And, you know, you hear people talk, and I know the salary cap is tough, right? So whoever you're paying, if it's Baker, whatever team's paying whatever starting quarterback, you know, $30 million, $40 million a year, you might try to save money in that backup quarterback department, right? We can only allocate so many funds, and if a guy's, we don't expect a guy to play, we can't give him a bunch of money. But right. I think for all the reasons you just laid out, I think it's important to have a backup you can trust because each game matters, right? I mean, the Browns last year came down to one win, got him in the playoffs. Well, if you win that game because Case Keenum starts as opposed to Nick Mullins or whoever else would be your option as your number two quarterback, that's well worth the $6 million you're paying him.
Yeah, and I also, and tell me if you agree or disagree on this, Scotty, I thought Case played, you know, well last night. He managed the game. He did what a backup's supposed to do. But I think if he has to play another game, he's only going to get better. He shook off the rust last night. Now they know what he can and can't do, which might change the, you know, the way they call the game, and I think he'll only play better the next time out. You agree with that?
I do. Now, I think there's a ceiling to that, right, to how well Case Keenum plays. You know, I mean, he's not an elite quarterback. He's a backup for a reason. But he's one of those borderline backup starter guys in this league, right? Took the Vikings to the playoffs. You know, compared to Teddy Bridgewater last night, to me, they're the same player. You know, maybe I give a little bit of edge to Bridgewater. He may be a little bit better athlete when he's healthy. But, like, he's that type of a player, you know, Andy Dalton-esque. So, I do think he'll get better the more he would play if he continues to play. But, again, there is a ceiling to how well he plays. But that doesn't mean you can't win games. I mean, I bet this roster is more talented than the Vikings roster that he won 11-3 with and took to the NFC Championship game, right? So why can't he get on a run?
No, that's a great point.
I'll tell you one other thing, though. Hold on one second, Kenny. I think Stefanski called a heck of a much better game yesterday, too, and knew exactly what he had in the backup quarterback. And I think he called the game that he should have called for Baker Mayfield maybe a couple of times to ease things up for Baker, maybe especially when he was injured.
Yeah, that's an interesting thought. I certainly think Stefanski had a better game than he did against the Cardinals. I think he would admit that, even if you go back to the end of that Chargers game. I thought Stefanski had probably his roughest patch in his time as Browns coach, and I think on a short week he really did a good job rallying the troops and getting the game plan where it needed to be to do whatever you had to win that game, and I think he did a good job with that.
Scotty, I'm going to add him now to this list. You ready? Don Strzok, Gary Danielson, Kelly Holcomb, Brian Hoyer, and now Case Keenum. He's in the top five of best backup quarterbacks the Browns have ever had. How's that list?
What about Charlie Fry?
Yeah, like I said, the best five, okay, that the Browns have ever had. I'll pass on Mr. French Fry. We'll let him go on that. Hey, Scotty, great stuff as always. We appreciate the time. Good luck to your Wildcats tomorrow. We'll be rooting for them.
Yes.
Thanks, fellas. Wear your purple.